Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Karina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you wherever you are around the world and want to greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. You know, we are here to build God's kingdom, and we are here to see that people enter into the kingdom of God. You know what? We had a wonderful time in Plano. We are building a church there in Plano, as you know. Like I said last time, in fact, we had it videoed live. We were live on Facebook. But you know, they time up on Facebook, they cut and they edit and just allow you like a few minutes. But when we are broadcasting live, if you know the time, you can hear me speak, you can hear me talk the whole length of the live broadcast. We're going to do that a week from now. We're going to do a live broadcast from Plano as we meet with the brethren who are going to be key members of our church in Plano. But suffice to say, we had a great time. The Lord blessed us. We strategized the things we need to do to expand the kingdom of God. And especially there in Plano. Mind you, there are over 15-some Zambians in that area. You know, we are in the United States of America, very far from home in Zambia. So when you meet people like that, Zambians, thousands of miles away, you really get to think that, hey, there are people who like the United States of America coming all the way, the thousands of miles, 2 days of traveling, to be here in America, and there they are in Plano. I never realized so much, you know, I've been in the United States for a long time, but I never realized there were so many Zambians there, you know. But I kept meeting them and getting their phone numbers and jotting them and made an appointment with them, and finally I got to speak to them, and they have been coming to the meeting. So, friends, we are building a work there, and we'd love you to join us in prayer. You know, I see many people responding on my page, on our church page, the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International, and congratulating us for the work that we are doing in Plano. Thank you so much. The Bible College students, mind you, we are broadcasting and then posting on the thread of the Bible school. We've been having very busy activities, but we're going to get back to typing the material for you. Sometimes I'll post the voice message and continue with our teachings. But this is also good for you, you know. You can click and replay it and replay it and replay it. You can hear me teach you again and again and again and again and again. So that's the goodness of you listening to my broadcast here in a Blog Talk Radio. By the way, this Blog Talk Radio, we're reaching over close to 8,000 people around the world. 8,000, that's a very big number. And I know it's God's working, because by ourselves, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. So, beloved ones, remember to tell your friends about the Word of Life Bible College. We are recruiting for the 2017 school year. Like I said, we are including the second year program for the Associates of Arts degree program. All right, today we are going to look in the book of Hebrews. If you are there with your laptop or with the iPad or whatever thing, gadget you're using, it says Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba and wife Tarina Mwamba present the book of Romans. I mean the book of Hebrews. Romans still rings in my head, you know. I taught it for a long time. And so here we are. Hebrews and chapter number 4, we start reading from verse number 1. Listen to the word of the Lord. I'm reading from the King James version of the Bible, and I'm using DEX, Annotated Bible. I like this Bible because it's like a four-way drive. You know what I'm saying? Two lanes, four lanes going this way, four lanes coming here. Like, we have all these roads here in the United States. And I saw a big road like that in Nigeria, four-way drives, and I saw them big roads they built when we drove all the way up to, is it Zimbabwe and back? Yeah. But anyway, here we go. Now, this is an exhortation by the Apostle Paul to the, you know, Jews, that they should fear lest they should fail like Israel failed. Now, verse number 1 of Hebrews and chapter number 4. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse number 5. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse number 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Therefore remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse number 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if I read that quickly one more time. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved ones, this is a very powerful scripture I've read to you. Bible school students, I'm studying with you, you know, systematically. Now, Dex, before the beginning of verse 1, he says, exhortation to fear lest we should fail like Israel. He gives Romans chapter 11, verse 17 to 24, Galatians 3, verse 7 to 14. Now, what does Dex mean here, exhortation to fear lest we should fail like Israel? Now, Israel failed. We are on the same journey to total deliverance and salvation. That word salvation means to be saved from eternal damnation and destruction. Salvation is an ongoing process through redemption and what we might call, you see, when you are saved, you are redeemed. To redeem means to buy back and bring back to the original position. But salvation is an ongoing process of sanctification in the spirit.
Because you see, you can be born again, but when you go and dabble into the realms of sin, you make yourself spiritually dirty. And if you continue on for a long time, you can put yourself in the position of an apostate. You say, Bishop Mwamba, what is or who is an apostate? An apostate is somebody who has gone far beyond redemption. What I mean is, the person has deliberately sinned against God, and turned against the sacrifice given him through Jesus Christ, called the holy thing as of being of no holy repute, and trampled the blood of Jesus once again underfoot. To such a one, the Holy Spirit can stop speaking, because the person would have blasphemed the Holy Spirit in maybe calling and in giving names to the Holy Spirit that are not wholesome. And because of that, he would have grieved the Holy Ghost to the extent that God stops talking to him. You see, we are in the dispensation of grace, and the only way God can talk to you is by the Holy Ghost. And the only way you can be saved is through the medium of the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. That's why we say right now we are under the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. You say, Bishop Mwamba, what is dispensation? Dispensation, simply spoken, is the time period. You see, the Father, God the Father in the Trinity, there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So they have divided the time periods of waking in this earth amongst themselves. The first time period was the time period or dispensation of the Father. That's when the Father dealt directly with mankind. He dealt directly with Moses, directly with Jeremiah, directly with Joshua, directly with King David, directly with King Saul. Then came the dispensation of the Son, when Jesus, now the Son, dealt directly with mankind. God was not dealing with us anymore directly, like he did with Jeremiah, like he did with Ezekiel, like he did with Daniel, like he did. Now, God was dealing with us through a medium or through the channel of our Lord Jesus. You see, because Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And for you to get to the Father, you must come through me. See, when Jesus came, he became the link between us people and God. So it's called the dispensation of the Son. You say, "Oh, Bishop Mwamba, how long is that dispensation?" The dispensation of the Son lasted only for 3.5 years, mainly speaking. You see, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then he grew for 30 years. He did no miracle, nothing. When he was 30, that's when John the Baptist baptized him. Then his ministry was for 3.5 years. So Jesus, his actual prophetic ministry and his messiahship took effect when he was 30 years old. And in 3.5 years, he accomplished the will of God that he was sent to the earth to do. He said, "But Bishop Mwamba, what happened when he was born and he was still growing?" Well, when he was born and he was still growing, he had not yet received the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You see, he had to be anointed by the Lord to do the work of the ministry. But the ministry of Jesus lasted 3.5 years, but he did a great job. He died for mankind, paid the price that caused us to be separated from God the Father, and reunited us through his blood. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, said the Apostle Peter. Now, when Jesus ascended and went to heaven, he said to the disciples, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." See? "Then you shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What does that mean? When Jesus' time on earth was done, when his dispensation of the Son was closing, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, was beginning. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, "Tarry." What is to tarry? To tarry means sit down or wait. Don't go nowhere. Wait right here. So, the Bible said, Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem. See, the Lord will tell you where you must operate. The Lord will tell you where your ministry must be. As to the disciples, he told them, tarry in Jerusalem. God knows where London is. God knows where Zambia is. God knows where the United States is. God knows where Oklahoma, Tulsa, or Denver, Colorado. God knows where all these cities are. Don't you think when you go live in Minnesota that you are taking God by surprise? Like God doesn't know. He knows every city under the sun. But the point we are trying to make here is this, that listen to the voice of the Lord and know exactly what God wants you to do. And as for the children of Israel, Paul was encouraging them here. He was telling them that now God has spoken to us by the Son. Now, when the Son had arisen from the dead and gone to heaven, and then he sent the Holy Spirit which he had promised them, and that Holy Ghost fell in the upper room. The 120 who were present received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. From then the church was born. That day the Bible said 3,000 were added to the church after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter is the one who preached the message and taught the people. He said, you people, because they were accusing the people when they heard this heavy noise in Jerusalem. They said they were drunk. But Peter stood up and said, you people of Jerusalem, you Israelites, how can you say that these people are drunk? It's 3 in the morning and there is no bar or pub that's open. Then Peter said, this is it, which was promised by Joel the prophet, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon old men I shall pour my spirit. They shall dream dreams. And so he says, this is it. So the dispensation of the Holy Spirit began on the day of Pentecost. We are now in that dispensation. You see? Now, Paul is telling the Jews there in verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, Paul is just warning them that we should be careful lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short. What does that mean? You see, God has made a promise of us coming into the operation of faith, where we walk by faith, we do things by faith, we speak faith and things happen. But Paul is saying that if you don't pay attention to the things of the Spirit, you can fall short. When you don't use the faith that God has given you, you can fall short. What does it mean to fall short? You will not meet the requirements to make things happen in the kingdom of God. You will fall short in the sense that things are not going to happen miraculously as God expects them to happen. You will fall short because the blessings that you expected to come from God won't come. Because, like Paul said here, just as the Jews in the wilderness fell short, they did not mix the what they had, the word they had, with faith. So everything died and they missed out on the blessings of God. He says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, here Dex has a point. He says, faith brings rest, not the observance of some day. Now, faith brings rest. What does it mean? You see, here Paul is saying, the Lord said this, that they shall not come unto my rest, into my rest. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. How do you enter into the rest of the Lord? According to the book of Hebrews, yea, in chapter number 4 and verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. You enter into the rest of the Lord by believing. Simple. The people in the Old Testament perished because they did not mix what they had with faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to what you hear. So when you hear message being preached, God wants to make you a millionaire, God wants you to have a brand new vehicle, a brand new house, those are words being spoken. But for them to be activated in your life and bless you, you have to mix what you have heard with faith. That means you've got to believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that what you are hearing about you having a house will come to pass no matter what. When you do that, you are mixing the word that you heard with the faith of the Lord. So he says, the coming into rest, you have to believe. What does that mean? When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or when you believe in the work of the Lord, you come into rest. What does that mean? All it means is that you are no more cracking your head, thinking on how the money is going to come into your hand, cracking your head, how your body is going to be healed, cracking your head, how are these things going to happen? You are not calculating every move, every step to see how a house will be provided for you, a job will be given you, food will come on your table. You don't crack your head. You don't panic. You don't fret. You don't have high blood pressure thinking about where the money is coming from. You have already entered into the rest of the Lord by faith. That rest means you believe that God will perform a miracle no matter what. And because you believe that God will perform a miracle, it's like coming into rest. It takes away your fretting. It takes away worry. It takes away you being too concerned about tomorrow because you have come into the rest of the Lord. The coming into rest means you do not crack your head over these things. See, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass. So you trust the Lord with all your heart. That is coming into the arena of faith. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That means whatsoever you do, remember there is God who is guiding you. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass. See? Trust in the Lord, and lean not unto thy own understanding. What is the danger of leaning onto your own understanding? When you lean to your own understanding, you start to bring the things that are spiritual to the level of being human. Our God is not human. Our God is supernatural. Let him be at the position where he is. We are here on earth, but he is in heaven. He created all things. So the only way you can understand God is by going through his will. And that's the word of God. So here it says, now consider how great this man was, who is Jesus. He says, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. What does that mean? It just means that God was satisfied with the things he created. So the Bible here says he rested from his works. Now, when we take this into spiritual significance, resting from your works means you rest from struggling. You rest from worry. Oh, how is it going to be? Oh, am I going to get the money to do this? When you take those things away from your mind, you attract the spirit of peace and grace from the Lord. And when you do that, you will be at peace with God. You reach the level of rest. See, can you imagine somebody having 5,000 or 6,000 members and you are the pastor? You have to come to rest, because if you try to solve the problems of a 5,000 member church by yourself, that church will kill you, I'm telling you. The work, the burden of the house will consume you. So you got to release yourself. You got to let others share of the vision. You can't carry it by yourself on your head, or it will destroy you. See, something could be good in the Lord, miracles in the Lord, but if you do not take it the right way, you can miss it and end up hating yourself. So God here was speaking through Paul and encouraging us to be a people that will surrender totally to the will of God. This is the book of Hebrews. Paul is just teaching them and telling them, hey, don't make this mistake which those guys, your forefathers, made, and they couldn't even enter the promised land. Now, what mistake did they make? They heard the word but did not mix it with faith. Also, they ascribed, days, acknowledged days instead of the Lord of the day. See? Because Paul said it very clearly. He says, and in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So he's coming to the limitation of the day. But he's saying today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The point we are trying to say is, you can come into the rest of the Lord. How do you come into the rest of the Lord? By surrendering your life to Jesus, by letting the Holy Spirit live in you, by committing all your worries to the Lord. You are taking away the weight of your mind, of your spiritual self, and you are coming into the rest of the Lord. Now, ministers or men of God who are resting in God does not mean they don't have problems. Ministers of God, with the projects that they have at hand, is a heavy work that will give you high blood pressure, that will cause you, some of them, to die early. But does that happen? No. Why do preachers live a long life? It's because they've come into the rest of the Lord. They do not carry the burden of the ministry on their shoulders. They let the Holy Spirit carry for them. The Holy Ghost is paraclete, is a self-meet, is a helper. That means you do not carry the weight of the ministry by yourself. You come to a point of rest whereby you trust in the Lord that he will see you through, he will grow your church. When you are faithful here, he will cause other people who have not even heard you to come to your fellowship, because he's a God of balance. You win souls, they don't come to your church, God is still going to bring those souls that you want in another way. So today our lesson is, we need to get into the rest of the Lord. It does not matter what time we meet to have people. It does not matter when we do it. What matters is, are we doing it? Are we helping the needy? I challenge you in the name of the Lord. Let's come into the rest of God as stipulated in the book of Hebrews and chapter 4. That is a place where you don't labor in your mind. Where is the money coming from? Oh, where is the food coming from? When you have those worries, you have not come into the rest of the Lord. So therefore, friends, let's come into God's rest. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba, signing off from Dallas, Texas, saying I'll talk to you later. God bless you and bye-bye.